Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Nerdcore podcast. The podcast reviews the movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 645, and it is your review of Masaki Kobayashi's Black River. As always, this is the nerd you're going to hear the host of the show. That's my wonderful co-host, Brad Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a wonderful Monday evening for all our Patreon supporters.
Yep, bright and early. Well, not bright and early, but it is nice and early for our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/thenerdcore. At the $1 tier, you get this episode before anybody else gets to watch it or listen to it, and you get to interact with us live in the chat. And of course, that's all possible because you all do the great thing of making sure that we, that we have some, you know, might help us pay for services and for, you know, StreamYard and all that wonderful stuff. So we thank you all so much for doing that.
All the good things. Good things.
Yeah. Yeah. But of course, we thank you so much for that. And we show you our gratitude by giving you this episode early, along with Thursday's episode as well. And all the other cool stuff you get over there on patreon.com/nerdcore. Brad, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Celebrated MLK Day by watching movies, mostly watching movies and television.
You caught up.
Well, because I wasn't gonna watch your Thursday one, but you're like, hey, it's on the Plex, and I'm like, hey, I don't want to do anything, so I'll do that.
You're like, fuck it, just might as well do it, right?
Might as well do it. And because tomorrow we're probably going to the grocery store. Yay. But so I caught up on a lot of stuff. What did I watch today? So I watched Echo this week.
Okay.
I finished that a couple of days ago.
I just started that right now.
Yeah. So I'll keep my opinion to that until we review it this week. I did watch what's the new show on HBO? That's not the new True Detective.
Yeah.
Watch the new season of True Detective, first episode. I am hyped about that. I am excited about that. That is following the footsteps of the first season, which I think is the most adored and loved, even though season three is great. Season two, just don't watch that. Don't watch it. It doesn't exist. It goes from season one to season three, season two. I mean, doesn't exist in my mind. But yeah, season four is starting out great. I wish it's one of those. I kind of wish like they did a two episode drop just so I could have the little extra, but I'll wait. I watched Black River today, which is, of course, is what we're reviewing. And I also watched our Thursday movie with the longest title, I think. Now,
the longest title on award, the podcast?
Other than the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
The assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. I do not care if we go down in history as barbarians. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that has taken now the mantle of the longest title in a movie.
That we've reviewed because there's longer. There is longer.
I think that's about all I did today, mostly.
Yeah. I watched Black River. I edited some TikToks, and I started watching Echo right now.
Yeah, thank you to everyone that's going watching TikToks now.
Hey, thank you.
I mean, our first TikToks got like close to 1,300 views, I think.
So yeah, man.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. The drop-off
is literally just my face. And it's just like, why is Raul not in this? Raul's like, I don't want to put myself in it.
The 2001 does have me in it.
Does it? Does it? Okay.
Yeah. Did you not watch? I sent you the link.
Wait, which one did you send?
I sent the one for 2001 as well.
Oh, I didn't. I know I didn't. If you sent another one, I did not get to see that yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm getting the best one, so it just happens to be that your insight is the one that I thought was the best one for now.
Hey, yeah. Works for me. Also,
me on my own.
Also, we've been doing content with Luis. I don't know when he'll be rolling that out. I feel like that man just needs to like edit just like the smaller clips first, just to get those out before he puts longer clips. But it's his show, so
yeah. Let him do what he's got
to
do with it. Yeah.
I just want him to like catch up on the Escape the Back Rooms because I laugh hilarious. Like I find those hilarious. Because it's mostly just me being dumb and dying first, and then it's Raul running around until it kills him, and then Luis somehow makes it to the
Luis ends up figuring it out. But other than that, just it's really cold out here. It hit already the freeze. So
is it snowing?
No.
Just I cold. Think
somebody said on like TikTok that it snowed for like 10 minutes, and that was it. But yeah, it's just it's cold out here, and I managed to be able to watch the films that we need to watch. So, not really what's it called? Not a bad day spent. Not a bad day spent, to be honest. But Brad, it's gonna be a good one today. I think we have ourselves a really interesting film. We're continuing on with our Masaki Kobayashi month as Brad's pick for this month. So we're going to go ahead and kick it off with this 1956 film, right, Brad? So no spoiler warning needed. So, Brad, go ahead and introduce to us Masaki Kobayashi's Black River.
Okay, considering Wikipedia only has one sentence that basically just states it's a drama film, I'll read from Criterion. So Masaki Kobayashi's Black River is, as they state, perhaps his most sordid film. Black River examines the rampant corruption on and around U.S. military bases in Japan following World War II. Kobayashi spirals out from the story of a love triangle that develops between a good-natured student, his innocent girlfriend, and a cold-hearted petty criminal, Tetsuya Nakadai, in his first major role, which that's going to be a big thing we talk about, to reveal a nation slowly succumbing to lawlessness and violence. As Raul said, this film's from 1956. 110 minutes, and going back to Wikipedia, we have written by Zinzo Matsuyama and based on the novel by Takeo Tomoshima, produced by Ryotaro Kuwata, starring Iniko Arima, Fumio Watanabe, Tatsuya Nakadai, Tomo Nagai, Kiko Awaji, and cinematography by Yuharu Atsuta, which I think has that been his cinematographer.
I think it's been for the last couple ones, yeah.
Yeah. Edited by Yoshiyasu Hamamura. Music by Chuji Kinoshita. And yeah, release date October 23rd, 1957. And there is no box office info.
Yeah. So I was like, Brad, there's no way. So I went to go and I look at it. I was like, dude, literally, it's just one sentence on Wikipedia.
This might be the shortest one. Because usually we'll say, oh, it's just a sentence. But it's like two or three sentences. You know, this might be the shortest.
This is ridiculous, man. What do we have to do, bro?
That's
like,
bad.
Like, what do you have to do to start like rewriting some actual fucking, what's it called? Some actual, what's it called?
I mean, considering every Marvel movie nowadays has four paragraphs.
And I'm looking at the other films. I think the cinematographer is not the same one, Brad. Because he wasn't the one for Harakiri.
Okay.
And Samurai Rebellion was not him either.
Okay. That, which might be why he doesn't have a link, so...
Yeah,
it's not a blue.
Looks
name.
Like it probably was just the one he was working with, like in his early days.
Also, I love, like, sometimes I look at the posters, the Japanese old movie posters, and I love this one shown on Wikipedia for this movie because it's literally the ending of the movie.
I know.
It's literally the end of the movie. Like, if you didn't see anything in the movie, you at least saw the end in the poster.
Yeah. It's just, it's such a, what's it called? Japanese posters are a real, like, an art form of their own. to be honest.
Roe sent me Ikiru's original poster, which is great because, they're just they're faking them out. They're literally, yeah.
Either they spoil it or fake, or like, hey guys, this is what it's about.
Actually, it is a woman in a bikini. there might have been a woman in a bikini, but I think that missed the whole message of Ikiru.
you're like, I don't think that's what it was about.
I don't remember that part. Specifically, like, she might have been in there, but I was more focused on you know, the more depressive tones of the movie.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, that's funny. That's funny. But either they're really great posters, they're either falsely advertising the film, or they're giving you away the ending, apparently.
Yeah, this one just, like, because I just noticed this on, and I had to bring it up. I'm like, this is literally the ending of the movie. Like,
yeah.
If you go to Wikipedia and just look up Black River, the image there, that's the ending of the movie.
Yeah. So, I wanted, what's it called? Go ahead and throw it to you, Brad. What are your initial thoughts on Black River?
I'll start off with the good aspects. It's not a perfect movie. I'll put that out now. I don't think it's a perfect movie, but I do like really good aspects of this. I love the performances. I think the performances in this are really good, especially from Nakadai as Joe. And I love that they just name him Joe.
Yeah.
Because I think this is like the transition when, you know, they're trying to get these Japanese films into a more American audience. I think that because Kurosawa was doing the same. And so they literally just name a character Joe. So I think that's part of that. It's like, oh, he's relatable. His name's Joe. Like, even the American audience will be able to pronounce that. And it's like, okay. I thought that was interesting. I love, because this is coming on right after the war. It's right after World War II, and U.S. has now come in and put up bases on Japan. And Japan's kind of, I think they might be out of that rebuilding mode, but might still be somewhat in that rebuilding mode after the war. And you get that because you get that how their economy has really, you know, it ground to a halt. And now, instead of what they were before, which is, you know, it was everything goes to the emperor, it's now just capitalism. And you see I think that's what Kobayashi is going after, is like, not everything the Americans bring in are going to be great for us. And there are bad parts of this capitalism system they're bringing, because you see it. You see these poor people just getting ran over by basically, you know, horrible people with money and connections.
And you start seeing the rise of crime, too.
Yes. I mean, you get all of that in this 110-minute film. And I that's a lot to really put into a film, but I think Kobayashi actually does it really well. And I think the actresses really, you know, I think the main actress, she really does a good job. And then your two main actors, one being Nakadai, I think, you know, they really bring that kind of that force to a head, and you get to see kind of just this violence erupt. And it's really weird seeing that in a 50s kind of Japanese film of a noir style. Is like, it's a really violent time. Like, these guys are getting drunk and they're like just kicking the shit out of each other.
Yeah, and what I really appreciated was just how different this is to the other Japanese noirs that are coming around all this time. Because, like, you know, Kurosawa was making some of his own with like Stray Dog, with Drunken Angel. And then this one is more of like a, what's it called? I kind of want to, what's it called? Make a noir, but I also want to like deconstruct what is happening to Japan.
What is going on right now.
Yeah.
which, you know, I really did. It's something different. Like Kurosawa, like, I don't think Kurosawa ever really touched right into that. I think there was always like a thin, like, on top, he's saying. Kobayashi kind of just goes into it and shows you this corruption that's going on, and then this abusive behavior that some of the younger Japanese are you know, they're becoming very violent, and they're becoming this the worst part of capitalism mindset.
Yeah,
I mean, and for being Nakadai's first role, we've seen him in more films after this. We've talked about him in Kurosawa films. We talked about him in Sword of Doom. He's the villain. He is the villain in all these samurai movies, all these, you know, other noir films. He always ends up being cast as the villain. And I think in this one, he is the most villainous I have ever seen.
Oh, he's a piece of shit.
He is the biggest piece of shit.
But he's so slimy, bro. And it's like, he has this unnerving charm to him.
But here's the thing is, for me, the first act of this movie is really slow until you get to him and he abuses the girl.
Yeah.
And that scene just sets it all off for the rest of this movie, and it takes it from there, and you're just waiting for this guy to get his comeuppance.
Yeah.
Comeuppance.
But, you know, he kind of creates this really sleazy film, bro, that's like, you know, it's very much influenced by the noirs that are showing in the United States at the time, and he's getting a lot of influence from there, but also taking some influence from what Kurosawa is doing with his noirs as well. And he makes a very, like, sleazy film with his, like, morally ambiguous character. But, like,
I mean, they literally kidnap a girl.
Mm-hmm.
To make it look like he saved her, even though he's the one who initiated the kidnapping.
Yeah. But Nakadai is just so good in this movie, man. Like, he is such a freaking sleazebag, bro. Like, he is. But you can't deny that there's this inherent kind of charm to him, though.
Well, that's what you get. It's the girl runs back to him every time. She's like, I can't help but love him. And you're like, okay, now we're getting kind of the trope of, you know, the woman loves the bad boy. And you kind of get into that trope, and we're seeing that trope. This is 56, so I don't know if it started before this, but you're definitely getting that trope with this.
Yeah. I thought the cinematography was pretty good. I really found that to be an interesting part of this movie. But I was just really hooked to this story, man, because, you know, it's like you said, it's an interesting ground that he's kind of working with here. It's kind of looking at post-war Japan and really the introduction of, like, American exceptionalism and capitalism, especially, and what it's about to do to Japan, and specifically what it's going to do to Asia and how it's going to change Asia for like, because you're going to see it, like, now it's going to sneak its way into what's it called?
China,
yeah, Taiwan.
China. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously China, what's it called, makes, you know, kicks it out, but, you know, stuff like Taiwan, like it changes the, what's it called, the very.
But
the
China very is ground. This weird conglomeration of communism and capitalism.
Yeah.
Because it's not fully one or the other. It's a weird conglomeration right now.
Yeah.
And you see the starts of that here.
Yeah.
Coming through.
Yeah. I have to say, I really like the music too. I thought the music was really good. Yeah. I really like that. I don't seem to think of any movie during this month where I didn't think the music worked, where I didn't think the music didn't work. Like, I think all these movies have such great music that is working really well with them, and they all create this really interesting atmosphere. And here it kind of makes, like, this really, like, sexy kind of atmosphere, but it's also very, like, you know, very crime, like very, it's a score that feels to the idea of the crime thriller.
And I also, I find it funny that a film from 56, 57 can still talk about stuff we deal with today, like landlords and tenants not being able to pay. That's a total thing going on. It's been going on for the past, I don't know, what, 10 years, probably, easily, and especially specifically in the past 4 to 5.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. It's like, okay, that's a landlady that I probably wouldn't pay either. Because like you're living, like, when they initially walk in and show the building and show the room, I'm like, whatever that man is paying to save money, he's paying too much. Because there is a hole in the wall to the other neighbor. So I just love how just specifically it talks about, like, stuff we're still going on today. And another thing I got to give Kobayashi credit for is the ending. Because I think the ending
is good.
the ending's good. The way the villain's taken care of, and then just where the girl's just running into the darkness. I would personally, if I was the director, I would have kept it on until she was just gone. But I'm not the director of it. I just think it ended really well. And all you're left is the parasail.
Yeah. Also, I was really surprised. And when I say this, guys, I'm not going to say that this movie has so much like nudity or anything, but I was surprised at the amount of, you know, like sexual reference and the amount of skin that I was, the skin that was being shown too.
Yeah. They're mentioning a prostitution. And I mean, and you got that in some of Kurosawa's, like, you know, old samurai movies, like, you know, they had brothels and stuff. He didn't come out and say it like, oh, that's a prostitute, or look, like, no, she's going to go prostitute herself, or, oh, she started back at prostitution. That's all in this film, which is really crazy for a 57 Japanese.
Yeah. Again, yeah. And like, and it's just, I found that to be fascinating because at the time, like, you think about it, you know, how many Japanese movies have we seen from, like, all, we mostly seen like a bunch of Kurosawa from this time.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about, especially, you know, in the realm of American cinema as well, it's like, you're not seeing a lot of this type of what's it called? Amount of skin and amount of reference.
I don't think you get to that until mid 60s, 70s with America. I don't really think you get into that skin. I think the whole, it's still, America's still in that whole, like, Catholicism, Christianity are major religions. Yeah. They got a stronghold over the cinematic arts at that time.
Yeah.
And Japan at this time, I mean, they're in a flux. And yeah, their culture is also different.
Yeah. So it's like you say, it's like it's showing a shift in the culture and a shift in the, what's it called? In especially a shift in like crime, and seeing how crime is about to become rampant, and it's about to become a very like, very
noticeable. Did you notice that they were working out of an Italian restaurant?
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm.
just no. Some of this stuff just made me laugh. Also, the army trucks, they did not stop for anything.
Well,
those guys were not stopping. They were like, if somebody's in the road, they don't care.
But it's so brutal how Joe dies, by the way. Like we don't even get like any type of sound effect to give you an idea, but you see it and you're like, bro, he got fucking pummeled.
But did you see that? She was motioning it.
Yep.
To Shizuku. Shizuku was motioning it to Nishida. She was going, she's going, I'm about to, I told you I was going to kill him on his birthday.
Like she realized that, like, you know, like, I think that character realized that, you know, like, this is going to be the only chance I'm going to have.
Yeah.
And, like, she even tells him, she tells the what's it called, her boyfriend, that, like, as much as I want to, I can't picture myself not going back to him. Like, I'm going to keep going. Like, I can tell you that I'm not going to go, but I'm going to keep going to him.
Which is, I mean, it's one of those, it's, he's a slime bag, and he manipulates her. And
100% manipulator.
Yeah, 100% manipulation. And she thinks she can't go back because he's just going to abuse her anyway. And yeah, a lot of, you know, I mean, plenty of relationships revolve around this.
Yeah.
This way of thinking and this way of living. And, you know, and this was her way out, I guess.
Yeah. But I can't say that this is better than Samurai Rebellion or even Harakiri. I found myself to be a little bit disinterested in the first act where it was a little slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But once we start ramping it up, it really does get really interesting. But I can't say that this is better than either of those two movies.
Yeah. It's
really solid.
I was trying to figure out the score on this, and I can't really say I enjoyed it more than those two movies. Just because the first, I think if you edited that first act a little better and got a faster pace to it, I think it would have been fine. Because the second and third act are actually really strong. They're like really, really strong. Once Nakadai comes onto the scene and basically steals the girl, literally kidnaps her, it goes from there. Like, and it's quite a good watch.
Yeah. But I'm going to go ahead and give... I'm going to go again, give Black River a 7.5 out of 10. I think it's still a damn good movie. I think it's a very solid film from Kobayashi. And for this to be the first major role that Nakadai does with Kobayashi, and apparently it's like 15 years of collaboration with him and 10 films that he did with him, I think that this is like probably one of the best performances I've seen from Nakadai with his partnership with Kobayashi.
Which, and it's also crazy because I think this is the most villainous I've seen him. And we've had to see him more than 5 times, I think, by this point, easily. And he's always the villain, and I love it. I'm like, okay, if you're going to get typecast, at least you're going to be the villain and you're going to have fun. So at least from the start, they were like, you're going to be a villain. And I think they decided right, because the dude plays an amazing villain. And I'm going to give the same score as Roel, 7.5 out of 10.
Nice. Yeah, it's a solid film, man. I think that it really shows some really, what's it called, interesting style there from Kobayashi that he's going to obviously do more of in the future.
I was definitely worried at the beginning because I was not getting into this movie as much as I wanted. And then that second and third act happened. I was like, all right.
Yeah,
Kobayashi like took it from there.
Yeah, he's a pretty damn good director, man. And I we've seen a lot of movies this month so far from this man, 3 films from him. But I have walked away with each one of them appreciating something about it and being able to see that like there's something of a very of a lot of importance here with his style and his directing. So I was really impressed with this film. So let's go ahead and get this going, man. We are done here with our review of Black River. Next week, we're going to look at Qui-Gon. I'm excited for this one, man. This is going to be a long one, though. But I'm excited because I watched the first 20 minutes of it back in undergrad, and I was really impressed with those first 20 minutes.
And it's specifically, apparently, a top-tier horror film with
yes,
four
sir.
Stories on it.
Yes, sir. I can 100% tell you from what I watched for the first 20 minutes, I was very much feeling the vibes of a horror film that I thought was like, okay, I want to finish this, but you know what? I never got to finish it. But of course, thank you all so much for sticking around. Go ahead and follow us at thenerdcore.com. That's our website. Twitter is at thenerdcore _. Instagram and Threads is at thenerdcore. Patreon.com/thenerdcore for the $1 tier. You get this episode live and early. You can chat with us. Nobody was in here to chat with us today, but granted, we are kind of going through a full polar vortex right now. A lot of people probably not wanting to watch a YouTube stream right now.
No, probably not. And a lot of people probably watch news and all that good kind of stuff.
Iowa caucus today as well, so people are probably glued to that as well. So with that said, though, what's it called? We thank you all so much. So if you want to go ahead and check out these episodes early before anybody else gets to watch them, you can go check us out on patreon.com/thenerdcore at the $1 tier. Our Discord link is in our description as well. So you can go ahead and talk to us on there. Of course, in the comments, tell us, what do you think about this movie? What do you think about Masaki Kobayashi as a director? And what other film from Kobayashi do you recommend us to look at? We've got Qui-Gon, and then for the mini pod, we're doing The Thick Walled Room.
Yeah, so, I like to hear what other people have to say on movies that we're technically not touching on. Like Roel said, there's one movie I was not able to pick. These reviews.
Yeah. We were we what? Which were you not able to
pick? The 9 hour.
Oh film. Yeah. The Human Condition. Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure that's what everybody will say in the comments if people would actually go and be like, guys, you're missing out The Human Condition. But that's all.
I think maybe we save that for a month of his alone, and that's all we look at because they do have it in 3 parts.
Yeah. I do want to get the criterion of that before I ever, what's it called, even start to touch that. But yes, it's like, imagine if I told Brad to do War and Peace, man. Like that was so long, and it was so worth it, though. Was so worth it. And it's broken up into like 5 or 4, parts as well. But it's long, bro. I can't in good conscience tell Brad to like, hey, dude, let's go ahead and do this almost like 8-hour film.
I mean, if we were going to do that, it'd have to be like we get a week or 2 weeks to watch the damn thing.
Yeah.
And or we just break it into parts. We break it into parts. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's literally how it would have to happen, bro. It's like,
If you have like a 9-hour film, you can break it up into three parts and talk about three hour.
The thing is, Brad, that the Human Condition part one is literally 3 hours and 28 minutes long.
Oh, God. I mean, if we specifically set it for a month, I would do it. If we hit a Patreon number, if we can get people to sign up to Patreon, and I don't know, it adds up to $200 a month.
I'd say if we could get like three new patrons that would that stay for at least a month. What's it called?
Yeah, I would be willing to do it.
Yeah, if you stay for another for like 2 months, because what's it called? The month you pay for, and then the following month we'll probably do it. Two more patrons.
Yeah.
But yeah, because we would have to like no extra reviews those weeks either, because like there is no chance in hell that we'd be able to sneak in another movie
with our schedules, with just work. So what we're doing now is basically what we can do without like trying to kill ourselves like we did in the beginning of this podcast. So what we're doing now is basically what we can do, and then throw in there some times where we get to play with Luis.
Yeah.
But other than that, Roel's going to see movies and going to, you know, screenings, and I've just got work and, you know, a family. So
yeah, I'm trying to like make sure that we stick to the schedule. I'm also trying to like keep the website updated and going, because like it's just
And one he didn't mention, which we don't have in the scrolling banner at the bottom, is our TikTok, is adding to.
Yeah.
So it's at the Nerdcore.
Yeah, TikTok is at the Nerdcore as well. And yeah, Brad, I checked it. Part one is 3 hours and 28 minutes. Part two is 3 hours. Part three is 3 hours and 10 minutes.
You heard the man. You get us three patrons.
Two more patrons that stick around for 2 months, and we'll do it on the main show.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Or if somebody just signs up for the $50 tier and sticks around for 2 months, I'll fucking do it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's going to be a lot. Yeah,
we'll find time.
Yeah, but without further ado, let's go. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you leave a like on the video, subscribe to the channel, click the notification bell so you don't miss a single piece of content that drops on the channel. And then if you're on the audio side of things, please go ahead and leave a follow on your favorite podcast platform of choice if you're listening to it. And make sure that you're leaving a 5-star review on the podcast platform that you're listening to us on. And for that, for now, that's all we've got, guys. But we'll see you all again on Thursday for patrons. We're going to do, on Wednesday for patrons at the $5 tier, we're doing our movie commentary of The Raid. That's your exclusive movie commentary this week, this month. And then, of course, we're going to, come back on Thursday for patrons early and Saturday for everybody as we look at, I don't care if we go in, down in history as barbarians. And then we got hopefully a weekend full of live show.
Yep. Yeah. So we got new TV shows that are coming out. Yeah. Excited to watch and review those.
Yeah. I'm actually really interested in starting up Ted as well, because that looks good.
The clips I've seen of Ted are just hilarious.
Yeah.
Like some of them are just funny as shit.
Yeah. So I might actually start Ted. Catch up with finish up Echo and catch up and watch that first episode of True Detective Night Country.
Yeah, I will say you got to watch the new True Detective. That's
I got to check out the stuff for review first, and then I'm going to watch stuff for fun.
Yeah.
But with that said, Brad, let's go ahead and get him out of here.
All right, Raul. Thank you, being host as always. Thank all those who join us in the chat in the future. Stacy, we missed you today. Hope to catch you on some future ones. Thank you to our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And to end this episode, all I have to say is treat your lady right or she might throw you in front of a truck. Young Yoda out. Japanese posters were wild back in the day.